It was good to hear where I was sitting several different languages, and that gives us also a glimpse of heaven. Every nation and every tongue, every tribe gathered together around the throne of grace. Also appreciate this morning sort of the don't know if you've felt it or not, just sort of a quietness, stillness that's in the meeting. Thank God for His presence. Amen. He promises to be with us and speak to us, and that still small voice of God is so precious to His people who want to hear and to respond to Him. Just briefly this morning, I'm not going to take such a long time, but I do want to read some scriptures about the Feast of Ingathering, especially beginning with John chapter 7. And the text there, of course, is verse 37 and 38. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "If you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within." And we thank the Lord this morning and praise Him for those words that He gave to us on the last day of the feast. And Jesus fulfills that Feast of Ingathering. He fulfilled the Feast of the Passover when He died on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world. And Jesus fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost when on the day of Pentecost 120 disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And we know that the coming of Jesus will fulfill the Feast of Ingathering. Be wonderful if He came. I don't know if He will or not. Would come during this time, September, October, during this feast. My wife Sula says often that wouldn't it be a blessing if on Yom Kippur would be the day that the veil would be removed from the eyes of the Jewish people and they would look upon Him whom they had pierced and mourn in repentance and accept Him as their Lord and as their Savior. We don't know, but we do know that Jesus is coming again. And there will be a great feast of ingathering, gathering together unto Him. And unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. And so we praise the Lord for that. The song that we sang during the offering was very much what I would like to say, that there's an ocean of God that's flowing out from God through Jesus into our hearts to flow to other people. And that He Himself is the source, as He said to Moses, when Moses wanted to know His name, that He's full of compassion and loving kindness. And that source is for each one of us. And out of it, God gives to us through the Holy Spirit and the outflowing of the river of life that comes to us and out of us by His grace. He gives us the assurance that we all need. An assurance that we have been born again as believers. We know that we're ready for heaven, comes by the Holy Spirit. The assurance that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. The assurance that we are daily being sanctified, changed, is a work of the Holy Spirit. An assurance that we are daily being filled as we go on in our Christian life, that we are daily being filled with the Holy Spirit. And finally, the assurance that we're looking forward to His coming. And when He comes, we will be totally and completely possessed by that wonderful Holy Spirit. The old man that is dying in us will be completely gone. And the new man that God has put in us will be in its fullness and in its glory. And the Bible promises us that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. And so God, on that wonderful day, the last day of the feast, Jesus gave that cry that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And it was a tradition of the priest during the Feast of Ingathering to go down to the lower part of the city with a golden pitcher and come back into the temple and pour out that water. And maybe it was at that time that Jesus gave the assurance that He Himself was the living water. And so we want to plunge in, don't we? Remember the vision that God gave to the prophet of the river, the wide river, and go into your ankles and knees and your waist, and finally at the Feast of Ingathering we'll be right in the river, swimming in the fullness of God. Hallelujah for what God has provided for us. And so begin reading in chapter 7 and verse 1, thinking about this ocean of God's love. And after this, Jesus stayed in Galilee, going from village to village. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. But soon it was time for the festival of shelters, or the Feast of Ingathering. And Jesus' brothers urged him to go to Judea for the celebration. "Go where your followers can see your miracles." They scoffed. "You can't become a public figure if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, prove to the world," for even his brothers didn't believe in him. And Jesus replied, "Now is the right time for me to go. But you can go any time and it will make no difference. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of sin and evil. You go on. I am not yet ready to go to this festival because my time has not yet come." So Jesus remained in Galilee. God's time. When is God's time? What is God's time for us? It was time for the feast. And if we could visualize what happened here in the land on those feast times, people coming from north and south, walking, riding horses and donkeys, carrying their food, camping at night, from the Jordan, from the coast, moving up here to Jerusalem. Must have been a wonderful sight and a real time of excitement, and especially during this feast, because it was toward the end of Jesus' ministry. 6 months after this, he will be crucified on the cross. And so there was conversation, and there was talk. Who is this Jesus? Is he the Messiah? No, he's not the Messiah. He does his miracles by God. No, he does his miracles by the power of Satan. What do the scribes and Pharisees think about this? And so there was a lot of discussion and talk and excitement in the hearts of the people. Will he be at the feast? And when they got there, he wasn't there. Some were disappointed. But it was Jesus who said he would go in God's time. And when it was the middle of the feast, he arrived at the feast. God has a timetable for each individual. And God has time for the church, and God has time for revival. And I know all of us get anxious about ourselves because we want God to do His mighty work in our hearts and lives. We get anxious about our churches. We want to see growth and we want to see revival. We get anxious about the church as a whole. But we can be encouraged that Jesus is never late. He's never early. He's right on time. He will come to you individually. He'll come to the church, the congregation, and he will come to the church as a whole right at the right time. But Jesus wasn't just kind of sitting and waiting there in Galilee. He was still going from village to village. He was still working. He was still active. He was still moving. And so, even now today, for us, it may not seem like it in our individual lives or in the church, but Jesus is working. The Holy Spirit is active. He's moving toward a goal, and He's going to accomplish that goal. And at the right time, in the right moment, we will see it, and we will give glory to God. For my own life, my testimony, there was a right time for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 7 years old. And 7 years later, when I was 14, in a prayer meeting, the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful time and experience that was for myself and for all of us who have been saved and the Lord has baptized us in the Holy Spirit. But why 7 years? I don't know why 7 years. But in the right time, in the right place, God comes to us and gives us the blessing and the anointing that we need, that we might have power to serve Him in this world. And God's time is for all of us who believe. And God's time for us, really, is not to be like Jesus. Not to be like Jesus did not do. He was not sitting in Galilee and just kind of waiting and watching his... He didn't have a watch, did he? He was watching the sand go through the whatever. But he was moving. He was active until he knew it was the day to go down to the feast. And so it is with us. We need to be stepping toward God, making those steps, making the prayer and crying out to the Lord. And then at the time, and I know that we make a few steps and God makes all the steps to come towards us. But we need to be proactive, perhaps, in prayer and crying out to the Lord so that He will meet our needs. There is a day coming soon when Jesus will be present at the last feast of the ingathering. And then in John chapter 7, again, and verse 16 to verse 19, we read, "So Jesus told them, 'I'm not teaching my own ideas, but those of God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Those who present their own ideas are looking for praise for themselves, but those who seek to honor the one who sent them are good and genuine. None of you obeys the law of Moses. In fact, you are trying to kill me.'" God's time, and then there's God's thoughts. We know that Jesus was divine, that He was the Son of God, that Jesus is God. But He said to His disciples, "I'm not teaching my own ideas, but those of God who sent me." He showed His own dependence on the Father to receive the thoughts that needed to be shared with the others. May it be God who gives us His thoughts, His wisdom, and His understanding, so that we can share those with others and be a source of blessing, that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And we will be able to give those thoughts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, of course, as we read His Word and we study His Word and have His Word hidden in our hearts. Einstein, and I don't think he was a believer, but Einstein said, and this is in my doctor's office, and big picture of Einstein, and this phrase, I always read it. Einstein said, "I just need to know God's thoughts. The rest is small details." And we do also just need to know God's thoughts. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And then everything else falls together. Everything fits together. God gives us understanding and gives us what we need. And we thank Him for it. And then in John chapter 7 and verse 17, it says, "Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own." God's time, God's thoughts, and God's will. If you thought for a moment, and I've asked this question before, how would you, in your mind right now, in a few words, define what God's will is? What is God's will? I believe that God's will simply is mercy and loving kindness. It's that ocean of love that we sang about. This is a life-giving flow that God has poured into us, and we are to pour that love out to others. And we do it by praying a prayer of blessing upon everyone that we meet and everyone that we think about. There's a prayer that I have prayed, and I've said it to you before, but it's been a great blessing to me. I call it the prayer, the mercy prayer. And I pray it this way. Lord, you flood with fulfilling mercies the person that I'm thinking of. Fill and possess him with the Holy Spirit and meet his need as you see his need, and give him and fill him with Jesus. And when we pray a prayer of blessing in every situation, every trial, every temptation, every rub, every disappointment, if we pray that flow of love out that God has given to us, we pray it out to others, God's will is being done, and we at that moment and that place and that state and that country, we're in the center of God's will. Certainly God's will has secondarily to do with where we live, who we marry, or who we don't marry. But primarily, God's will is his loving kindness, his tender mercy, that is a flow like a river of living water that flows out of our hearts, first of all in prayer, to other people. And as we pray that prayer, God hears it and answers the need that's in those who are in our view, in our area of influence. And also the Lord may change our hearts if there's some kind of a rub, some kind of an attitude, some kind of a bitterness, some kind of a jealousy, and we don't know what to do about it. It's a step beyond, and it's a step stronger than saying, God, you know what a hard time I'm having with Chuck. I'll pick on Chuck. Father, you know what a hard time I'm having with Chuck. You know what he said yesterday, and I don't understand it. God, make me love Chuck. Well, that's all right, and the Lord answers that prayer. But being more in a flow says, Lord, you bless him and you come to him, you anoint him, you heal him, you meet his need. And then the Spirit of God is flowing in and out, and there's no obstruction. And Jesus and God the Father is his source of that. And then in John chapter 7, verse 37, which we've already read, but I'll read again. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, if you are thirsty and come to me, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scripture declares that rivers of living water will flow out from you. Jesus comes from the Father. They are one. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the flow of love. Jesus is the mercy of God. Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of the feast, Passover, Pentecost, and ingathering. Can you say hallelujah to that? Hallelujah. I believe that's good teaching. Jesus is everything. He is the mercy of God. And he's given to us from the Father. God's Son. God's Son. Let him be our all. Let's keep on seeking to know him. Let's seek him till we find him. And then we will have the assurance that we need. We have the assurance that we are born again, the assurance that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the assurance that we're being sanctified and being made holy, and the assurance that every day we're being filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, and the assurance that at the Feast of Ingathering, when the trumpet sounds and when the call goes out, the bridegroom has come. Go out to meet him. We're ready to throw open the door and run and meet at this great feast, this feast of love, of ingathering unto him, because that's been what our life has been in a measure. But that day, it will be in such great fullness. We remember the parable of the 10 virgins. I believe all of them refer to believers. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 wise had oil in their lamp. The 5 foolish let the oil go down and there wasn't much. And the message was, go to the shop, go to the store and buy it. And if the oil is low in our lamps, we can go to the source, our Father in heaven, and he will fill our lamps with oil, and we will be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then I would like to close by reading 3 portions of Revelation that talks to us about this great ingathering when Jesus will come. Revelation, first of all, chapter 11. And verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 17. Then the 7th angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, "The whole world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped him. And they said, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and you have begun to reign." The Feast of Ingathering, a trumpet will sound. The voice of the archangels will speak. The breath of God will believe. And we will be gathered together unto him. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The trumpet sounds. Then in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, "Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a great waterfall, or the rolling of mighty thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the 4 living beings and the 24 elders. And no one could learn this song except those 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth, for they are spiritually undefiled, pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. No falsehood can be charged against them. They are blameless." In this great ingathering that we're looking forward to, the sound of the trumpet and the breath of God blowing, and then the sound of a new song. Sound, mighty sound, great waters rolling and thunder moving, and a choir singing. How many of you like to sing in a choir but you can't? And your dream, like my dream, is, oh, if I could be in that Billy Graham choir and be singing that bass part where they're singing. But the day is before you, before me, before all of us, that you don't have to have a tryout for that choir. you just step up and open your mouth and let it rip and sing to the glory of God a new song as God's people gather together. And it will be a song unto Him. Unto Him He'll receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. For He has redeemed us and He's washed us and He's gathered us together to Him. And it's going to be a great ingathering, because I certainly believe that before Jesus comes physically to this earth and sets His foot on the Mount of Olives, shortly before that, Jesus is going to come in a mighty, great revival, stirring the whole nations. When Israel, when the veil is removed from Israel, and we as the nations see Israel as a nation, confessing Jesus as the Messiah and the Lord, we'll fall on our knees, and there'll be a great repentance. Not all, I wish it was all, but there'll be a multitude, a great ingathering, and a new song, the trumpets blaring. Hallelujah. Can you hear it? Off there in the distance, can you hear the song? Praise the Lord. And then finally, another sound, and it's the sound of this huge crowd in Revelation chapter 19. And verse 1. After this, I heard the sound of a vast crowd in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation is from our God. Glory and power belong to Him alone. His judgments are just and true. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the murder of His servants. Again and again their voices rang, Hallelujah! The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on their throne, and they cried out, Amen! Hallelujah! And from the throne came a voice that said, Praise our God, all His servants, from the least to the greatest, all who fear Him. And then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a huge crowd, or the roar of a mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and honor Him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself. She is permitted to wear the finest white linen. Fine linen represents the good deeds done by the people of God. And the angel said, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, These are true words that come from God. And then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, No, don't worship me, for I am a servant of God, just like you and other believers who testify of their faith in Jesus. Worship God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. The essence of prophecy is to give a clear, sounding witness for Jesus Christ. We are going to be among that wonderful ingathering, a feast of ingathering at the last days. And it's because of the ocean of God's love that has flowed upon us, not because we have deserved it, but because of His grace and His mercy. And He only asks us to let that river flow out to others and be a blessing to them. When I was a young man, I used to love to sing the hymn, O Love of God. And one of the verses said, If we with ink the ocean fill, and every man a scribe by trade, and if the sky of parchment was made, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Hallelujah. And the chorus goes on to say, O love of God, how rich and free, how measureless and pure. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the deepest sea. Thank God for Jesus, who is the mercy of God, the love of God, and that He stood on that day in the feast and gave us a promise. If we believe in Him, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And in that is all the assurance that we need. All the assurance that we need is in Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You for this ocean of love that we have heard about and sang about today. We thank You, Lord, for the work of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives to save us, to baptize us, to sanctify us, to fill us, and to prepare us with hope for the coming of Jesus. And we have a hope that the world does not have because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, who has taken away our sins and made us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so we celebrate on this feast of ingathering. We celebrate Jesus. We join our hearts and our voices with the choirs of heaven that are singing right now these great hallelujah songs, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain from the foundation of the world." And I pray, Lord, that if any of us, and I know that myself and others included, at sometimes doubts arise, help us to turn to You and seek You with all of our hearts, so that You will be all in all in each one of us, and You will have Your perfect will in our life. And Lord, according to the vision that the prophet gave about the river, You were not to stand on the shore or just in the edge of the water, but to continue to move into the river until You had water to swim in. Help us, O Lord, in our daily walk with You to continue to move into the deep love of God. And not only move in it, but help us, Lord, to pray for everyone without exception, that a flood of loving kindness and mercy will fall upon them. For in that we are sanctified and we are like You. Bless us now and make Your word a blessing to our hearts, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
With so many applications to the message, I'm sure that the Lord is going to speak to us throughout the week and preparing our hearts and lives for His coming. We don't know when, but we need to be ready. We're going to sing a song now. Come, Holy Spirit, come. One thing that struck me, though, that out of the message, that when we're able to pray that prayer of blessing and mercy over that one we're having issues with, then the Lord can really free us, besides freeing the object of our prayer, and then not only just justifying ourselves, Lord, praying a prayer like, Lord, vindicate me, deliver that person, that we can still hold some resentment, and we need to be people above and beyond that, but to pray blessing is to actually free our hearts for God's full blessing upon us as well. Father, help us to go out with that song and on our lips and on our heart, beckoning You to come in Your fullness, in Your cleansing power, in Your promise to make us witnesses to the death and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. Be with us, Lord, as we need You so much for these days of doubt and temptation and fear as there's threats from the left and right, east and west, north and south. Only you can prepare us, make us that body of believers that are ready for your coming, your return. Thank you, Father, for this day. Bless each one. Send us out in your grace and your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.